Lord Bennett.
Let's vote. Something.
I want to thank everybody for coming back on time. As soon as folks are able to get sustenance in their seats, we'll start the meeting. Okay. Treasurer's report.
Half one way and half the other. There's two documents this time.
Just both of them, or is this?
That's one. That is something I was going to hand out at the last meeting. It's one of the data managers here, David. Reports. Oops, I didn't save myself one.
Here.
Not that one, the other one.
Oh, the other one. here.
Okay. The first one that I handed around, although they might both get to you at the same time, is the data manager's summary of the pledge drive that ended, I think it was the 6th of March. And we're not going to talk about this a lot, but I know that people like to look at this. And there are the income is broken down in various ways. It shows what kind of pledge activity happened with each program and with some of the specials. For instance, the brain fitness is an item all by itself. There were a number of programmers who used that. I guess it was a CD of the guy talking and then the premium that went with it. Other things are listed like that, but mostly it's by program. And if you look at the pledge amount, this is about in the middle of the page. That's one of those columns.
Page one?
It's the heading goes all the way through. the pledge amount, then, you know, you'll see the amounts that were pledged by program or special event. And the if you follow it over to, let's see, where is it? Oh, yes, the very next column is, oh no, this isn't the one. I'm trying to arrive at the percentage of fulfillment that we get. That may be at the bottom. Anyway, the fulfillment at this stage of the game is not as high as it is eventually because, of course, pledges keep coming in. And our record for having high fulfillment is pretty good. We get 89%, 88% eventually. And our data manager and the staff keep track of the pledges as they come in, even if they come in months and months later. And those are the kinds of funds that are classified as listener support. So now we'll skip to the financial report that is the second thing I passed out. And the first item on the revenue is listener support. Corporate match, which isn't a very large item, is also considered to be listener support. And the significance of having the category, this different categories of revenue that we get, are shows up when we get our money from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting awards money based on the amount of listener support that we have. Now, in this last month, we did not have a treasurer's report, although Tracy handed out the actuals that had been distributed to the PNB just prior to our last LSB meeting. And it was not a very complete report because of the status of the record keeping and record recovery that's going on in the national office since the changing of the guard there. And the actuals in this statement are also not complete, and there are various problems that have been wrestled with by our business manager and others in the same position. So if you look in this first page at lines 16 and 17, it shows the CPB grant. It comes in two parts, the big part and the little part. And the small part is the part that goes to free speech radio news. The other part goes to the rest of our expenses in at KPFA. And you'll see that in the actual column, there is nothing noted. And there is a footnote there because the Pacifica National Office has not booked this revenue into the general ledger yet. Now, there is a figure in the budget because we knew in advance about how much we were going to be getting. And there was, you will remember last year, a problem about, had been uncovered, about the premiums that were being distributed. The CPB auditor and claims that we were reducing the amount of listener support by the amount we actually paid for premiums. But in fact, they are insisting that these premiums be valued at market value. So if we get a reduction, a lower cost for some book or something, we cannot claim that as our expense when it comes to figuring how much listener support money we have taken in. We have to reduce it by the actual market value of the premiums. So there's a big refiguring of things that are going, that is going on now about our CPB money. And I'm assuming that's why the national office hasn't posted anything to the general ledger, because this, they're right in the midst of it. We knew about this during the budget process last year when we were setting up our budget for this year. We expected it. We knew to expect it. We were told that our station was having to make up about a $24,000 or $25,000 premium over evaluation, or whatever you want to call it. And the CFO in the position at that time, this was all verbal, spoke to us about the fact that it was going to be divided over 3 years. Apparently, it's not clear now whether that commitment was real. And the most recent communication that the national office, and they've just turned it over to a copy to Andrew and our business manager this last week, shows that they want all this money right away. They want to reduce the amount of distribution they will give us to make up for this. So I don't know whether there's just going to be more communication and there will be this 3-year spread, but we calculated that we would have an $8,000 less in CPB money in the big part, not the smaller part, And now it might have to be 25,000 this year. We don't know what's happening there. There is another problem that I know you get sick of hearing how many problems our business officer is having. But in addition to all the horrendous payroll problems that went on for months, there was a lot of frantic trying to get the records for the people who are paid to be somewhat current and accurate for the end of the calendar year, because then they needed to have their statement for their taxes. A new problem, just as horrendous, has cropped up. The company that's been handling our credit card deposits for years, same company, long time, has now started doing something that makes it impossible to completely reconcile to the bank account. And these are not large amounts that are off, like the transmittal goes from our station in batches. Any business does this. You have a batch, goes on a certain date, and a batch on another date. And it turns out, and then by the time it gets through this the company that processes it, it's another couple days. And there is a really big problem now with making these records understandable. So the upshot of this statement, which our business manager has prepared for the first 6 months of the fiscal year, she's been extremely conservative about the revenues that she's listed here because of these problems. And it's already conservative by not showing the CPB money. And I'm sorry, Brian, I know you've talked about how well we've done in fund drives, and this doesn't look as good as that. And it is true we've done well in fund drives. Yes. In this, now, if you'll just look at, so now that's what I have to say about the revenue section on the first page. There's one, let's see, it's line 11. It's a subtotal. Maria put this all donations subtotal. And what she's referring to is just the three lines above that. In other words, all those donations that are not the first two, the listener support and the corporate match. The listener support and the corporate match are what are the amounts that are being used by the CPB to calculate how much money we will be getting from them. The other donations are, she's put a subtotal there just for information. Now, then we have the summary of expenses at the bottom of that page. And we are over in salaries, but under in other the other main categories. And here again, this figure, Maria cautions me, is distorted by the fact that there were all these payroll problems and corrections that needed to be made for people's pay. And there was a whole extra payday run. It wasn't for paychecks, but it was in an attempt, the first week at the in December, to use something that wasn't going to produce checks that was going to make corrections. And the dream of having this straighten everything out did not really – didn't – it straightened some things out, but not everything. And some people did have W-2s with really strange problems. Anyway. Yes. And I have helped a little bit with trying to make personal summaries that she can then use to report to people so they can figure out what they're going to do about it. So the salary figure is not accurate. And I think we can say that it is probably overstated by what actually people have been paid this quarter. And I mean this half, six, two quarters. However, we did go ahead and put in all of the other actuals that our business manager puts in. We still have the capital expense section with nothing in it but our phone system, which is still going to come and be installed. If you remember, you've heard before about the fact that we have a contract with AT&T, which would be very expensive to get out of. And we just are waiting for the time to run out. And I'm sorry, I don't remember exactly when that is, but I think it might be another year. And then we can begin to save a lot of money on our telephone expenses once we can finish this changeover that's in process. The figure for depreciation is in line 105, and that's something that you'll pretty much all of you'll remember we've wrestled with about whether it should be as an actual expense. But now, this is actually good news in the things that I've observed, what our business manager is having to deal with. She's been asked to actually evaluate the depreciation list, and there are things on there that should not be on there. In other words, we have a very large depreciation figure for things like toilets that have been installed, and then they're, you know, there's not worth 30 years.
They're all leaking.
And they've been some that were even changed. You know, the depreciation list is in very bad shape. So there will be big changes in that when that gets straightened around. I can't tell you how difficult it is to for Maria to get us an accurate statement, and she feels very badly about it, and so do I. And I have taken many different approaches. I go in and I say, give me something to do, and I'll wait here and try to run interference so that she's not interrupted by other people to do various things. They even come and tell her when the toilet is blocked, you know.
Yes, we do.
And then yesterday I was there trying to make sure that she could get this through and we could talk about it before I bring it to you. And the national office asked her to come over because the auditors are there and there were some things that no one could explain and they wanted her input. So I just see someone who is very overburdened with lots of responsibilities. And one of the things that I remember, I believe it was in the last National Finance Committee meeting, was brought up about we were going to be asking our general managers, what is the most pressing financial problem for your station? And I think Tracy and I talked about whether we were going to do this. I don't know if you talked to Andrew. I did not. And I did mention it to Maria that I had not yet been able to ask Andrew his thought about this. And she immediately said, people. We need more people. Okay. That's my report at this point. If anybody has questions, shoot. But just remember, this statement is a little more accurate than the one that came out in March, but it's not perfect.
Okay, I see Wendy, I see Janet, I see Tracy.
Here.
So far. Muggy's first, Janet, Tracy.
First of all, I just want to say thank you for whatever information you bring us. It's always helpful. You mentioned the audit, which that the auditors needed to talk to Maria, and that reminded me to ask, do we know what the status of the audit is?
It's ongoing.
Thank you. Okay. And the second question is, when will we know about the CPB money? How will that be figured out?
Since we just found out about there was an audit involved in that, too.
Right, right.
And that report that was distributed last week was from the CPB audit.
Okay.
And so conversations now have to happen about what's going to happen with that.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Just for the public record, because it may not have been heard, the answer to the question about the audit is that it's ongoing. Janet.
Yeah, just a quick clarification. Line 32, board expenses. That's national board? I assume it's not our board. Is that?
No, it's our board. It's this is the KPFA statement, and so the national office has also. Well,
so
yes.
So the amount. Well, I'm just wondering, for example, how much then does it cost to rent this space?
Well, elections expenses are in there too.
Okay. All right, thanks.
We're not spending $30,000 to rent a meeting space,
but
no.
Would election expenses, I don't think they should be part of board. I mean, it doesn't make sense to be part of board expenses.
That's where they are in the accounting.
Tracy.
Sorry, I'm just it's going to be hard to get all through all this, but very quickly, because there's a lot of things in here that don't make much sense. I have asked Barbara, when you do these reports, if possible, if you could provide an up-to-date list of accounts payable, the current cash in bank.
I'm sorry.
And
I have
also,
that.
It's okay. Let me finish. And also the LA Fresno totals from the last fund drive. So consider those requests once again, and hopefully we'll get them sooner or later as part of the financial report. A couple of quick notes on this. The $101,000 in additional fund drive revenue is a little bit offset by the $50,000 that we came up short in the other categories, which includes $3,000 on website income, $15,000 in donations, $11,000 short in car donations, and $16,000 short on community and special
excuse
events.
Excuse me, Tracy. You're familiar with it. I'm not. You go
excuse
on.
Excuse me,
so
Burton. I don't have too much time as it is, and there are some things I want to
say. But help me to follow you.
Uh-huh.
We cannot follow you.
Okay.
Please tell me where you're going.
The lines are numbered.
I'm sorry that you can't follow me. Revenue lines on your, if you look on the first page of your report, it will tell you the revenue you have by category. I'm not going to get through the rest of my questions if I do this. Website income 5011.
Not the account, the line, dear.
Line 8, you're $3,000 short. Line 9, you are $31,000. Well, let's go with line 11 since it's subtotaled. You're $15,000 short. Line 13, you're $11,000 short. Line 14, you're $16,000 short. So you do have a little bit of offset there. Some of the other questions that I have, Barbara, if you could look into some of this stuff. You're $100,000 over on salaries, as we discussed, but you're $30,000 under on health benefits. And there's something about that that doesn't quite add up.
Remember I said about the payroll problems?
That still doesn't explain. It's line 64 and line 70. Because you were also off in the first quarter and the second quarter, and it doesn't add up. On line 84, you're claiming $11,000 for consultants, but I know we're paying Goldbusters $4,000 a month, so my question is, are we not paying Goldbusters, or where did those other payments go on that consulting contract? Line 126, at the Finance Committee, we were told that as a voluntary cut in order to, you know, minimize the amount of personnel reductions we might have to look at. Things didn't go well, that we would cut our news services in half, would be only AP, not Reuters, or vice versa. Looks like we haven't actually done that. That's the reason for that discrepancy. And then the last item, you know, and we're always over on this, is website expenses, 132, were at double. And I would like to know what is being done to our website that would justify the $25,000, because I don't know the answer to that.
That's line what?
It's the one called website expenses. So those are some questions. Hopefully you can address them. And I would drop in the CPB monies. They've been offset against central services, as they almost always are, so I'm not clear why you wouldn't drop those figures in, which will give you a small surplus, not huge, but small, which is good.
Well, I don't think that I can address everything that you've mentioned, but the website income, I know there is an elaborate secondary account list that has been made, and so the word website expenses really is not completely accurate to describe that account number. And that separate accounting is something that the business manager instituted and is working on. It's still not complete. There are so many pressing things that that's one of them that isn't complete. There's another secondary account list for the crafts fair. The same, you did have an elaborate report on that when the director of the crafts fair came and gave a report to you, and we showed the account breakdown that has been more elaborate. And so those are improvements that she's been trying to make. And okay, now, and I have to remind you about the personnel costs. You don't think that the errors that happened could account for such a difference, but I assure you there will. If there were enough hours to get this all straightened out by the next time we have a finance report, I think you would probably see some change.
Troy, Brian. Troy, you have the floor. Please pass the mic.
Yeah.
Watch your elbow, Tracy.
Really quickly, and maybe you answered this, and I'm sorry if I missed it. On the pledges by program sheet, the very top line is blank.
Oh, I can tell you about that. That is because there were certain donations that they say walked in the door, and they were not identified with a particular program, and they came in during the fund drive period. And this thing, amount, the $6,000 looks very large because there was one $5,000 donation. The others were more normal sizes. And an update of this that I saw yesterday that didn't change really any other numbers in this report did change that first line, and it went up to $9,000.
So it's not 6,205,
it's
9-something?
Yeah, 9,000-something. Mm-hmm.
First of all, I want to thank you, Barbara, for all the problems you outlined, and I appreciate you outlining them. This is much more detailed and much more up-to-date than anything that we've seen, even at the national board level, for the network.
Maria tried.
So it's a tribute to the work that you and Maria are putting into this. Basically, two questions. The W-2s. Mm-hmm. I have coworkers who are doing their taxes and having to pay extra because the IRS has been told they made thousands of dollars more than they actually made.
I know,
is there any effort at Pacifica to fix what's on file with the IRS?
Well, We have discussed this, and at Pacifica, I don't think so. They, at one point, the word was given to our business manager, well, tell me who has a problem, and then we'll see if we have enough people to make the company run a whole new thing. And, of course, a million other things are happening while this is going on. So we didn't give them the whole list of all the problems. There are a couple of them that are just outrageously huge differences. And it's hard to know how to make this a correction. You know.
Well, I think for their sake, like someone has to say to the IRS, hey, we fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make this person pay more taxes than they have to. Because a lot of people on what we make KPFA live paycheck to paycheck.
Right.
And getting hit with an unexpected bill on April 15th mm-hmm. can make it hard to make bread.
Yes, I know. One person that has a really big problem is really leery of having any special communication about their pay because of past history with the IRS, a personal, you know, thing that they've been through, and they don't want to bring up any other problems. That's one discussion that we've had with somebody.
So my second question is, I noticed that we're very deficient in the major donor category, and I'm wondering, I know there were problems last year with donations that had been sent to Pacifica's address not making it to KPFA until mm-hmm. months after the fact. I'm wondering if that's straightened out. Are donations, stock donations go through their office, bequests go through their office? Are they actually getting to us if they show up there now?
Well, I can't answer that because if they're not getting to us, we don't know about it. But I'll tell you this, conversations that I've had with the business manager and the interim ED and her staff are that they know that this is something that we have complained about, and they do not intend to do any secret stuff. I don't know if they're living up to this because I have no idea about whether stocks come in or if the people handling all the business over there now know what to do with them. I think we probably could use a little bit of director's inspection again.
Tracy, thank you.
You had your hand up.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
You're on for the second time.
All right, well, just to clarify, there's no special dialogue required with the IRS in order to correct a W-2. What you do is issue a corrected W-2 and put it in the mail and give the employee a copy. It's done by the automated payroll company. What happened is Pacifica changed payroll companies, and apparently the data got a bit messed up. But that said, that was corrected in last fall, so the fact that the payroll numbers were too high both in the first quarter and the second quarter, the problem not really having occurred in the second quarter or not having occurred in the first quarter, that you know suggests that there's not really any that's not the cause of the discrepancy because it didn't continue for 6 months straight. It was contained within a three-month period of time, and then the numbers really didn't change. The other thing is donations. I'm still curious about where the Goldbusters consultant fees are because obviously you're paying them. I think rather than looking for conspiracy theories about donations that exist that we can't find, we might want to look at the reality, which is that our donations are about on pace for what they were last year. So there's really no reason to think that all of a sudden we had $50,000 more fall on our head, but Pacifica is hiding it from us, and that's why we can't find it. More than likely, we're getting the same amount of donations this year as we did last year, because that's how donations generally go. And we had hoped to get more, and we're paying a consultant to get more, but it's not really happening yet. I think that's the more rational conclusion. And the question I guess that I have is, you know, and looking at the fact that we tried to hold a fundraiser next week and we couldn't sell more than 20 tickets and we canceled it, you know, there's some confirmation for the fact that extra donations, however much we may have hoped for them, were not falling on our head. So I guess the question that I would have, and Andrea Pritchett has brought this up repeatedly, is can we get a little more commitment on the part of this board to look at the development stuff, to participate in it, to monitor it, and to pay attention to it. If we make more money on our fund drives by, you know, pressing on our listeners, but our offsite revenues are declining, we're not really getting anywhere. So I really hope that this funds, you know, this development brainstorming thing that we've been putting off for 4 months straight really becomes a board priority, because based on the numbers, you know, we need to do some work.
I don't know the answer of where Goldbusters fees are showing up, but I'm making a guess that it may be at line 91, the professional fees. That's right. Well, I don't know where they would be, so I'll have to find out about that. All right.
I see no other names on the list. I'm ready to move on to the next item. And this is item number 9. This is a Janet?
I'm a little hesitant to bring this up, and I don't know whether it's appropriate. I would like to move to revisit the agenda. This report is a short report, and it would be like 2 months old at this point. And I think we should go ahead with that. But as far as the discussion on development, there are a lot of people missing today. It has been postponed twice, I think, already. But I'm kind of feeling like this is something that needs fresh minds and maybe should come, suggesting we consider moving it to next month, but high on the agenda, like after announcements, with fresh minds. And then take care, because the last two meetings, there have been some issues that have come up that kind of distracted attention and focus. So I am going to move to reschedule item number 10, the discussion on development, to next month, as I had mentioned before, but listed after announcements. And then item 15 be moved up, although I'm not sure how much information there is, but I see that there is some PNB. I'm very interested in what report there is on the PNB. Item 11 does have something, but I don't know whether there would be additional information, item 15. So if item 15 could be moved to item 10, or, you know, replace item 10 today.
For today,
yes. So that's my motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
There is a second. I see Margie's hand. Do I see Craig's hand? I do. I see Joy's. I see Carol's.
Just a point of order? A motion to change the order of business is not debatable.
I hope that's true. Okay. Thank you, Brian. Then let me repeat if I...
Can you split it? Okay. I want to make a substitute motion.
Margie, substitute.
Okay. I'm fine with moving the discussion on development to the next meeting and making it... Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
I'm fine with that part. That's fine with me, moving the discussion on development.
And making it high in the agenda.
Yeah. But I do not think that the reports should come before new business. I feel very strongly, like, we need to deal with the new business. And so I'm opposed to that. So I know what I'm doing. I'm asking you to divide the question.
Okay.
Thank you. That's my...
Okay. And on the first question... it is that we postpone the general discussion on development until the next meeting.
May 11th.
But that it is to come immediately after announcements on that agenda.
Great, good, that's fine.
All those in favor, please signify.
Just ask if there's any other. Just don't raise your hand.
Let the chair share. Well, I guess I have a point of order.
Point of order.
I don't know what it is.
Earlier today, we amended the agenda to include item 13D, which was the IT audit issue that Joy had raised. And she said at the time that she wanted to add it because it would be part of the general discussion on development. So my question is, how are these linked? What are the implications?
That's a valid to get. Joy, could you?
Okay. So just to reiterate, the point of me tabling it until after we got a report on Goldbusters. Janet is talking about the development. I didn't hear anything about a report from Goldbusters.
Okay. I understand.
So after that, I would like to have a discussion about the IT audit.
Okay. So the report from Goldbusters is still on today's agenda. Therefore, yours is still on today's agenda. Is there any objection to Janet's first part of Janet's motion is that the general discussion on development be postponed until right after announcements at the next board meeting? Is there any objection? I see none. Therefore, it is so ordered. Therefore, we are now ready.
No, we have to vote on the second half.
Oh, okay. Is that still on the, Janet, is that still on the floor, the movement out of 15 to higher?
I'm okay.
Okay, let's move on, and we're ready. If I'm following correctly, we're on number 9, and at long last, we do have the report on Goldbusters, and be ready, Joy, you're next up. And Janet has agreed to give us that, or at least start that report. Janet, you're on.
Okay, so I attended. This is about the February 12, 2013 session with Goldbusters that Andrew set up. Andrew introduced James Anderson and Alice Ferris, both of them partners of Goldbusters, and Goldbusters is based in Flagstaff, Arizona, and both of them live there. Andrew and James had pitched on air that day at 3:50. Others present for some or all of the 2 hours, it was 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., were Bob Baldak, Maria Negret, Andrea Pritchett, Donald Goldmacher, the colleague of Donald's, I don't remember the person's name, Margie, Barbara, Craig, and myself. James and Alice gave a brief overview of what they've been working on, describing different types of donors. Major focus has been on big donor types and trying to find out why they don't donate to KPFA. Ray mid-level donors, they encourage increasing efficiency of fund drives and increasing the average gift. Other things are to find ways to make direct mail more effective and to work on a monthly giving program. And then they invited questions, but it basically turned into more of a discussion and brainstorming. I asked them how they saw KPFA and Pacifica as unique from other radio outlets they have worked on. They said KPFA's programming produces local content. There is a lack of corporate support. The people and place are unique. When they did not mention anything about the unique governance, I brought up how the structure of Pacifica is unique, where the boards are democratically elected, that the listeners represent 3/4 of the governance, while the staff represents 1/4, and there are a unique set of bylaws. And Donald expressed some qualms about this. Andrea raised the idea of the LSB members being trained on fundraising and suggested there be more outreach. She also brought up the idea of branding, having billboards, more visibility, and marketing. Goldbusters talked about how KPFA needs to, quote, push out programmers' content, in other words, their brand. Bob Baldock referred them to Perrine Kelly. The issue of social media came up. Miguel and Antonio are the people that post content to Facebook. Goldbusters talked about a, quote, virtual porch, which is how Facebook can be used to build an audience versus building a community. There is also Twitter and YouTube, and Goldbusters will make recommendations to Roger. Goldbusters also talked about development spots on the air where listeners can talk about why they pledged for the first time, basically to get testimonies from listeners and organizations. And at that meeting, Margie tried to arrange for a separate meeting with this board before last month's meeting, and it didn't work out. And anyway, that's from my notes, and Margie, if you have anything to add or change or correct.
I see Margie shaking her head to that question. Joy? Tracy?
I'm just curious, first a question, a point of information. Did Andrew mention anything about Goldbusters in his report?
He said that we're going to meet with them on May 9th.
Okay, so there was no report, right. Just that way. Okay.
So just for the tape, there is a meeting scheduled on May 9th.
Right.
Please go ahead.
And so this report is only from the people who attended that informal meeting. And that, then therefore, I need to ask Andrew. Even though he wasn't part of this report, I just wanted to ask him, was Goldbusters instrumental in setting up the defunct major donor event?
No.
Who did that? Let me just see who did. Number one. And number two, can you tell us of anything definitive that's happened between the last time we had this discussion and now in terms of what you think Goldbusters has done for us?
Answer to the first question, which I can't remember. Which was that, Rune?
The Wavy Gravy event.
The Goldbusters suggested we do some fundraising events. This idea came up as an event. Look, without throwing aspersions on anybody particularly, I think maybe we had the wrong headliner, to tell you the truth. You know, if we had Amy Goodman, which we wouldn't have had because we had her like 9 months ago, no problem, no brainer, so far as I'm concerned. But I think we had a pretty short lead time, and I think we had the wrong headliner. I think that was the problem. Also, the venue we were going to, whilst a really nice venue, was a little bit expensive, actually. We were leery about losing money, so we pulled the plug on it. We followed a Goldbuster recommendation. I'm not blaming Goldbuster. I'll take the blame for this not being as successful as one might like. Actually, a failure so far. But better to make a small mistake than a big one, and I think that's what we did. Goldbusters has been, I've actually got it here, and you may have got a copy, Joy, the document of a project information sheet we've been sending around to producers, which has a lot of information on it, for people to put together a potential funding proposal, who's involved, what is it, who's the audience, who's the demographics. So the Goldbusters can go through this and match these possible grants, these possible potential grants with possible grantees. And Goldbusters, when they're here, will be meeting with the people who submit these. I've only received a couple so far. Well, it went out on the staff list, and it went out to individuals. I think Frank might have seen it. I don't even know. But people certainly have seen it, and by all means, I can send it out again. Plus Goldbusters, we had another phone meeting with them yesterday, as we do every 2 weeks. We are planning on doing some more donor visits, but I would not say that we have broken through the ceiling yet by any means with Goldbusters. They are continuing to work. I believe the Goldbusters line is number 84 on consultants. I think that's where the money is. We have been paying. Our contract is roughly $35,000. I think we've probably spent less than half of that so far.
Okay, Tracy. Pass, Joy, ask a question. Okay. And Joy, I see no other questions on this, so I do. Janet. I think Janet has a question on her report.
Yeah, about my report. So I understand, Goldbusters put together a development plan, and so I think we wanted to request
Andrew,
that
this is
plan.
To you. I'm sorry. Texting
our business manager, confirming that budget line, I think, is number 84. Sorry, Janet, go ahead.
Yeah, so I understand Goldbusters put together a development plan. And if so,
well, I feel
I'm requesting that it be provided to the LSB.
Well, unless I'm mistaken, I think that before the last meeting that was distributed. Am I wrong?
That's it? Oh, yeah. No.
Can I call attention to Margie, if I may interrupt you? Didn't we send a development plan around?
There was a report.
Yeah, it was sent out.
That's not a plan.
Yeah, it was not a plan. It was
I think it had some elements.
Yeah.
It had a lot of items that Goldbusters had suggested in that report or plan. I think it was a plan. A lot of those proposals have been acted on. For instance, one of them had to do with the apprenticeship program and an NEA grant that has now gone into the National Endowment for the Arts on behalf of our apprenticeship program. And there are other items, too, in that plan. I'll be happy to resend it, report or plan. I don't want to get into the semantics. I'll be happy to resend it.
Okay. Okay, fine. Thank you. Tracy, and then, Barbara.
Actually, Andrew did finally mention the grant application, which you hadn't mentioned earlier, and that was a pretty big production of getting together that they have submitted for us. And I'm not sure when we're going to hear about that, but.
Okay. Anything else on the Goldbusters? If not,
I'll just mention, they brought in $10,000 in major donor assets that I'm aware of. So,
thank you, Mark.
Okay.
They have shown some results so far. And I only know because I was in one of the asks because they were a listener to the programs I worked on.
All right, we have now arrived, unless several voices correct me, at item number 11 on the agenda. And we have a report requested by Tracy, a report on the PNB Finance Committee with a request for action. Tracy, you're on.
Okay, so very quickly, the Finance Committee met in late March, and then again, we met once in March, around March 12th or so, and again on April 2nd. Next meeting is scheduled April 23rd. Basically, what came out of the meeting that I need to convey to this LSB was a couple of ideas regarding how we could do a supplementary fundraising campaign that would basically be attempting to get donors who had a little bit extra to spare and were supporting their stations regularly through fund drives but felt that they might have a little bit more to offer. And the idea was to try to have each station highlight a particular pressing financial need for sort of a supplementary campaign. We also thought some of this might be Kickstarterable or, you know, crowdsourcing in various ways. And it would be for a dedicated project or a dedicated financial need, and that we would highlight these for all five stations. We thought we might bring in some donors that way who were not regular contributors to our fund drives or listen to any of our stations, including those outside of our signal areas. And also, there was probably a population of people that gave to fund drives once or twice a year, but potentially, if a project kind of caught their imagination, might be able to kick in a bit more. And that this would hopefully provide a little bit of a dedicated revenue stream for particular problems that stations are grappling with that they haven't been able to accommodate in their budgets, because as we've observed, surpluses are not the story in most cases. So when there's needs and projects, they basically tend to get postponed and postponed and postponed, even though they are there. For some stations, these will be expansive type things. For other stations, for example, BAI, it may have to do with finding a permanent home, or it may have to do with ongoing antenna support. So each station has its own scenario. In the case of KPFA, we were, you know, batting ideas around, and we certainly thought that certain infrastructure or staffing needs for the apprenticeship program might be one sort of dedicated thing that makes sense. But there are all kinds of possibilities. Some website redos might be something that the LSB would consider. I don't know. I mean, basically, it's kind of up in the air, but the idea is that you guys would identify, and the idea is it would change maybe twice a year, quarterly, probably twice a year makes more sense, and you'd come up with some pictures and some text to kind of support that. So that was my understanding, and basically the idea was that we would throw this out to our LSBs and see what we could get back. And hopefully we would get one pitch from each station.
Maggie, Donald, and I, that's all the hands I see so far.
I'm sorry we didn't know about this before this meeting. My brain is functioning, you know, like at one quarter speed or power or whatever it is. And so I really think it's sort of unfair to ask us to make this decision right now. Perhaps this is something that we could put on the agenda for the next meeting, and a group, you know, if there are volunteers who are interested in thinking about it, we could meet. I'm certainly interested and would be willing to meet with folks between now and the next meeting and see if we could come up with an idea to present to the board, or a couple or three or four ideas. I see. So we just fold it into the development discussion. Is that what these people are yammering at me about? That's fine. I'm fine about that.
I see a lot of nods around, and I see a look of aghast. Is anybody troubled by... you have the floor, Donald.
Yes. Thank you. So the PNB Finance Committee is interested in special projects for each station. Is that the correct surmise here?
I can explain to you how the motion came about.
No, I don't need that. I just want to be clear. Yes or no?
I don't know. It wasn't my motion. I'm not going to speak to the intentions of the person who made it, but the committee passed it.
Okay, great. So earlier I think we heard that every other station in the Pacifica network is in the red.
That's not true.
Oh, no. Of who? Okay. KPFK. Okay, three out of five are in the red.
Anyway.
So the question is, special projects for each station while three of them are hemorrhaging. What is the PNB Finance Committee's game plan to address the chronic hemorrhaging? Because in medical parlance, from whence I come, if you don't stop the hemorrhaging, the patient dies.
Or what do you want to do?
No, your name will be added to the list, Craig, and then...
Okay, Chris. I thought that I was actually giving the report, but...
You did.
Yes,
I am,
when there's questions, they get answered by the person giving the
Tracy,
report, no? Uh-huh.
I may not chair the meeting the way you would, but I'm chairing the meeting.
And what are you saying?
I am saying that Craig is next on, followed by you, and you can answer the question at that time.
Well, are we limited to questions here? Or I just want to say, I mean, we can explore all ideas. I don't think this board by itself is capable of coming up with a list of viable projects that will really solve problems at the station. We need to do that in consultation with the general manager, who would do it in consultation with the staff at the station. The problem is we may not have a general manager in a week, and this is exactly the kind of problem that we were all addressing earlier, and this is why I think it's so outrageous that this has come onto the field. I mean, this is the sort of stability and the kind of planning that we need, and it's sort of incredible to me that the PNB right now, or at least the executives on the PNB, are talking about this as if nothing else is happening. I mean, we can't do this on our own. We have to do this in a consultation with the staff and the management staff. So. I agree. I think Margie is absolutely right. It's unfair to plop this on us now and expect us to come up with an idea. So we can put it off until next month. But if we don't have a general manager, I mean, it's insane. It's just insane.
Okay. All right. So a couple of things. It wasn't plopped on you. Actually, the email with the motion was sent in response to Burton's request, I think about a week ago, for what the text of the motion is. So you've had a week to think about it. So a couple of things. The motion was put forward by John Crumshaw, who is actually a staff rep from Los Angeles, because he wanted to do something to help some of the stations get some stuff done. So this was a staff initiated motion. And we kind of said take it to the development committee, and he felt no, we needed to jumpstart this, and that he wanted LSB input. He thought it was important. LSB should not be disrespected, and he wanted to take this to the table. So that's why I'm doing it. In terms of, how many people and how much time it takes, what you're being asked for is a picture and a couple of lines of text to support a project. It shouldn't take 24 people to put that together. It really should take two or three people, 2 or 3 days. It'll change. You can put other things up. You can take it down, add something else. I feel like you're sort of overcomplicating what is a fairly straightforward request. And my hope would be that two paragraphs of text and a picture would be producible by this board, and I think it would be a good thing. I don't know that it's going to raise a fortune, but it can't hurt. In terms of the other stations, though, this chronic hemorrhage language is a little bit confusing. KPFK and KPFT aren't chronically hemorrhaging. These are the LA and Houston stations. In fact, they've been as or more profitable as KPFA most of the last few years. They had teeny tiny deficits in the first quarter. I believe by the second quarter, neither will. WPFW's got some problems. And as we know, WBAI was homeless and knocked silly in a hurricane. In fact, in the fall of 2012, WBAI raised more money than KPFA did in that quarter. And if they had been able to continue without being forced off the air by a hurricane, they probably would have raised another $1,012,000. That is what they raised between October and December 2012, and it was the second best fundraising number for any station in that quarter. So, I realize people are manifesting a whole lot of anger, but we need to be fair to the other stations in the network, and we need to tell the truth. And really, this is just a simple request for a picture and a couple paragraphs of text to support something that the foundation wants to do. I mean, something that the station wants to do. It's really not an assault on the LSB, and to take it that way is, I think, so contradictory to the intent of the person who offered it that it makes me kind of sad. And again, this came from a staff rep. That's the point.
I hear in terms of a way forward is that the board would like to respond positively to the suggestion, that the board would like to incorporate input from the interim general manager and certainly from the staff, and that there be a small committee set up to do some thinking with regard to a report next meeting. That's where my head is at this moment. Barbara has asked for the floor, and then Mark.
Well, I'm sure you'll contradict me, Tracy, but my memory of that motion was not that it was to the LSBs, but to the general managers, that they should be asked to identify specific financial needs that could be put up on a website with appropriate documentation.
No, I listened to the
Well, I know you'll contradict me, but I would like everyone else to know, as a member of that committee, as I understood that motion, it was not the way you presented it now. It was that the general managers should be asked to do this, and they would obviously do it in consultation with everyone appropriate.
Brian.
No, Mark.
I'm sorry.
Folks, we got to move on. I mean, seriously, National Finance Committee doesn't tell us what to do. If they have a good idea, we move on it. We're already going through a separate process of coming up with fundraisable ideas. Let's not bureaucratize it. Let's not reinvent the wheel. Let's just hit the next item on our agenda.
Margie.
I'm hoping that without objection, people will agree to refer this idea to the discussion on development at our next meeting. Everybody for that?
Yes.
Thank you.
Hearing no objections, it's done.
Community advisory board.
Looking yes, thank you. finally, those folks, thank you for waiting so patiently, and we're close to, almost close to the prediction and when you might get the mic. No.
Thanks, Cynthia. Right. Okay. Moving to an entirely different subject. And I really want to thank this board because you are so supportive of the Community Advisory Board. And Andrew, who's got to stay on, has been exceptionally supportive. Okay. I'm going to do a number of different things. I'm going to tell you, and then I'll tell you about them. We're here to present applications for Community Advisory Board. We have 6 new applicants, and 4 of the current board wants to continue.
Excuse me, I didn't have the number.
6 new applicants.
Thank you.
And 4 continuing. Also, I'll just briefly address the process of getting applicants. I'll tell you who participated. I'll briefly tell you Pacifica guidelines about Community Advisory Board, and then CAB has a suggestion about perhaps having open-ended applications. Okay. So first of all, as I say, there are 6 new people. And Margie, who you all know how hard she works, along with CAB members, tried to do a really good outreach. It was very hard, but we brainstormed, because what we were hoping for, which is what this board hopes for, is young people, because we currently have 1, people of color, we now only have 1, and people outside the immediate KPFA, whatever. So we went to a lot of different kinds of communities in terms of sending the nomination and Margie did amazing follow-up calls. And at our last meeting, actually, we only had about two applications. But between then and now, the rest of them came in, so we have six. The current CAB is extremely collaborative. And the way we are is we just do not discuss KPFA politics. We focus on our job, and we all love KPFA, as you all do. But we have been really committed to working collaboratively, and it has really worked. I mean, it's quite amazing. Incidentally, I should introduce Nancy Pollan, who's the heart and soul of CAB, who keeps us on track, but she's termed out and doesn't want to ask for an additional time. And so you could still ask her. Maybe there could be a draft Nancy. Okay. All right, moving on. So the process of getting applicants was really hard. But as I say, each of us did outreach to a whole range of communities, including youth, including organized labor, including organizations which have a predominance of people of color. But I don't know any of the new people, so I don't know how successful we were in terms of our outreach. That's something that, you know, you will have to look into. And there, as always, we all know how complex it is to do anything at and through KPFA. Raman did an amazing cart to get nominations. It took a long time to get it on the air, then it was Fund Drive, and then to get it back on the air. But he's really skilled at such things. I mean, he's a hip-hop artist along with many other things. And getting the nomination form up on the website also took forever. Nancy, did it ever get up?
The nomination form is still on the website.
Yes, okay. But very eventually. Okay. Let's see, just a brief outline, and Nancy will correct me because she's the one who knows everything. But anyway, Pacifica's guidelines on community advisory boards are obviously come from the community, approved by the LSB, but community members can have two terms, and each term is for 2 years. So that's the very shorthand version. Anyway, as I say, we do, four of the six of us want to continue, and we have tried and tried to keep Nancy, but obviously she wouldn't even accede to a draft by the LSB, so that's our loss. So given all of that, the secretary has the nominations, except for mine, so let me start sending these around. And current CAB was unclear as to whether or not we needed to do a new application form, but since I was coming anyway, I did one. I listed the others. At the top of this form are the names and contact information about the current CABs, and it's attached to my nomination form. You're supposed to take one and pass it. Yes. Okay. So that's sort of the process. Beyond that, at our last CAB meeting, we only had either two or three applications. And so it was our thinking that we needed to continue doing outreach for applications. But that's up to the board. I mean, you can see who the new tentative, the applicants are. You can look at those of us who have been serving very hard on CAB. And you can decide, and that's something that, you know, you will need to let us know, is do you want to keep the process open, or do you want to close it until 2 years from now? We are currently down to six. One of our members we did have seven, and it's a little hard, so we definitely need some more members. No, but I mean currently. But as Nancy says, once this term is over, we will be down to four. So any questions, concerns, anything that I wasn't clear about? Brian?
When is the term over?
It's over. but we're continuing on until a new board is set up. And this, you know, LSB can decide if you want to decide today, if you want to decide next time, whatever, but soon, because Nancy is definitely leaving after our June meeting.
Would you use a mic, please? Brian, you reckon.
Sorry. Has the CAB discussed what it thinks a good size for the CAB to be is?
Well, more than six. I mean, 10 would be good, or maybe a few more. But not. It can be up to 24, but that would be unwieldy.
No kidding.
And so my personal thinking is that probably 10 would be a good number, but that's, we didn't literally come up with a recommended number, but more than four, which is what those that want to continue, and much less than 25.
Would anything make you fall apart if we did a confirmation vote next month rather than right this minute?
Not at all.
For the purpose of seeking staff participation,
personally, I feel fried, and I just have a fresh stack of paper to look through. I'd rather do it when I'm in my right mind.
Okay, after
him. And I think we could circulate electronically to board members who aren't here or who've left.
Nancy has an important point.
I just want to add one more thing. None of the nominees gave permission for their contact information to go anywhere beyond the purposes of the board officially letting them know what the board decides about their nomination. So, and that contact information is on all these copies that you have. So please do not use them any other way.
Is it appropriate if we, with the committee's approval, put this over, that we decide that the only feedback to the candidates come from you folks rather than from anybody on the board? And you can let them know what our plan is. That way, honor their confidentiality.
Yes, that would be fine.
Okay. Unless somebody objects to that, that's going to be my request on behalf of the board. I hear no objection. Margie, you're recognized.
Okay. So I'm going to make a formal motion that we accept the CAB's proposal to leave the nomination period open indefinitely, and that we agree that we will vote on the current applicants, the 10 current applicants, which includes the four current CAB members and the six people who've signed up, at our next meeting. It'll be agendized on the next meeting.
It will be old business.
It'll be old business. It's all right. I mean, we'll make sure we do it. We may have to make it a special order of business. But
is there a second to that? There is a second. I don't see any debate. Am I missing anybody? All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Yes. At one point, if we get any additional applicants between now and the next meeting, should I send them to you or to the secretary?
Send it. Craig, can I dump it on you?
Sure.
Send it to the secretary.
Okay.
Janet.
Mic, somebody?
Somebody stole the mic.
I'm sorry. I hope I'm not going to ask questions that have already been answered, but do the applicants know what the time commitment for their service would be? You know, like how many meetings, how much time?
No, they don't.
But we actually made our own rules. We were supposed to meet either three or four times a year, and our choice was to meet monthly. And a new CAB would make that kind of decision.
Thank you. Anything further? Thank you very much for that report and for that activity. I would like the record to show that it is received by the board with great appreciation. We are now ready for the KFCF report, and grab a mic, please.
Thank you.
Chair and members of the board. I'm here to give the report, oral report for the KFCF Foundation. And I can say that on behalf of all of the Fresno people, we need money. So, and we're doing a lot of what I'm hearing here. We're going through some of that in our local board meetings. I would like to say, though, that one of the things that we did try was to, we had some equipment failure. And we did request specifically for some help from the audience, from the listeners. And to our surprise, they came through surprisingly well, and we were able to meet the need real quickly. So that's something maybe we can talk about this evening. And we're also short an employee down there with us now, so we're going to be going through. That's the other reason why we got to find some money. So, but that's the essence of our report. Thank you.
Questions.
Now, what position are you recruiting for or looking for money to pay for?
We had an assistant to the, executive director, and they got another job someplace else. So now we're stuck with a lot of work on, we only have two staffers now. So.
Any other questions? Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you, ma'am. Old business. And.
Okay. I'm never deep. I know, I'm getting there. Okay, so mine is. It was in the papers on your table, resolution on members in good standing. And I'm going to ask that this be put off until next month. Mal Bernstein and I introduced this motion together. Mal's not here. I want him to be here for part of, for the discussion and the vote and the board. So I'm asking that this be moved over to the May agenda.
Hearing no objection, so ordered. Joy, let me toss it to you because I've thrown it so many false starts. I want to get it correct.
Okay, so my motion was to ask KPFA management to arrange for a request for a proposal to do an audit of our internet telecommunications capabilities. The reason why I wanted to do it, I just want to restate why I think it's so important. In the age that we live in, the computer has become the mechanic of reaching out to the public. It's the best way for us to grow our audience. There are so many things happening in the world in terms of IT, and we're just not caught up. I want to start a process of evaluation to determine how much money is leaking out in this, how much is actually costing us, how efficient our systems are, and whether or not we can improve our systems and lower the cost. And that includes the personnel, and that includes the equipment we have, and that includes incorporating any new media capabilities that we would need to do that, to develop our audience. Now, as it happens, I'm not just saying, let's do it, let's make staff do it. There is someone who has volunteered, and I did give this to Andrew a long time ago, and we'll revisit it, I hope. He works at Google. He's on the outreach committee, and he's volunteered to help us set up the RFP process, to call for bids from organizations to help us do this. I think it's crucial that we look at our resources, how they're being allocated in this day and age. This is something most organizations do. So I don't know. There was some resistance from the existing personnel, I believe. And I think that that's even more reason why we should do it, because there is that resistance. There's very little evaluation processes going on at KPFA at all. And this would be a good way for us to get a handle on what we're spending and how we can produce it. So this is why I brought it up. Now, the reason why I waited till after Goldbusters is because I didn't see any recommendations from Goldbusters about this. So I want to see where people are with this, why we wouldn't do it, and if we can at least ask the staff to do it because we guess we can't make them do it. And then the other reason why I think this is important is because I want to prove a point. My point is that the money we're spending, this is what I contend now, and I know we haven't finished the Gold Busters process, but I'm contending now that the $50,000 would have been better spent had we get a development position part-time at scale to do the very things that Gold Busters is recommending, which the recommendations, as far as I can see, are very generic and could have been gotten from the Internet. Getting hired donors, everybody knows that. Doing events, everybody knows that. And then this innocuous statement of increasing or improving or strengthening our subscriptions program. Well, how do we do it? So I was saying then and I'm saying now, our money is being wasted on using it for Gold Busters because we don't have a development director to do the implement what they said, number one. And the development director could help us assess and evaluate our communication system.
Craig?
Joy, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to capture the exact proposal. Would you be willing to write down your motion and bring it up?
It's in the minutes. It's the same exact motion that I made at the very first meeting of this year.
It's on the March minutes, page 5, under 14, new business, B, sub B.
I second.
I get it right here.
Yeah. Okay, why don't you read that?
I'm sorry, people, discussion, Carol.
I have no idea what I think of that. I mean, I sort of think I like it, but I don't know what it competes with. I wonder if it's appropriate to ask Andrew what he might say about it. Andrew?
Sure. When we took on Gold Busters, we said it was an experiment. We pointed out that it probably costs less than half of employing a development director. We're trying the idea out. If the idea fails, it won't be a failure because we won't have employed someone with full benefits and a salary which would cost the foundation at least probably triple what we're paying now for development. So I do not see this as a bad thing at all. We're partway down the road. Some of what Joy says, I do agree with that. There are some pro forma things that Gold Busters is doing, but they're due to do it and push it, push us and encourage us. Since I've been at KPFA, and I think since before, I don't know how many grants have been written and successfully garnered by the foundation. I think maybe one for the news department, an environmental one. That's the only one I've heard of. We're actually doing something, Joy. It's not over until it's over. So let's give them a chance, I would suggest. And if after a year the LSB does not want to take them on again, okay, but let's see how they go. And as I
what is your position on her motion?
IT audit.
Oh, well, I'm happy to see that. I've been calling for something similar almost since the day I sat up with the LSB. Thank you.
I just want to point out that I know you're kind of rounding up, but the figure for Gold Busters is not 50,000. It's under 42,000. So.
Okay, so let me just state the motion, which is from the minutes, and just confirm that this is what you're raising. The LSB asks management to request bids from nonprofit management centers to conduct an IT efficiency audit. That's it? Okay.
All right, and the people who have asked for the floor, excuse me, next is Don and then Jose Luis.
So you were merging two things, Gold Busters development with IT audit. So I just want to get clarity that your major motion here is the IT audit. And, okay, so Andrew says he's for it. Okay, so where's the bottleneck, right?
Right.
Number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, what is the outcome of this? Because you really listed a number of issues there, and I'm supportive of a lot of them, which have to do certainly with getting us up to speed on the internet and social media ASAP. I personally don't like the website. I think it's about 10 years behind. And I think, you know, we could be much more savvy, which is why I brought my executive assistant to the meeting with Goalbusters, because she's very social media savvy, and that's what she's done for our film. So, but the IT audit is very specific to a piece. So I want to understand what you're after there so I can be supportive of it.
Right. First, let me explain why I brought up the Goalbusters, because what's going to happen is we're going to send out, if we do this, we send out an RFP, and then there's going to be money involved. So where do we get the money from? So that was my point, that I think in the long run, if we had spent the money towards the IT and not done the Goalbusters, ultimately we would have garnered more funds and resources overall. That's just my contention. The other thing about the IT, what I'm hoping will come out of it is, yes, a recommendation from a professional in the field, because I don't know, of what we can do to make the website better, how we can get into streaming and all of the Twitter social things, because I don't even know how to do it, and also whether or not we're spending the money we are efficiently, and whether some of that money can be directed toward development. Now, the other part of that is, I think a lot of people are missing, as wonderful as Goalbusters is, I'm not going to quibble about the amount. I'm not going to quibble about the work that they've done. I'm saying Andrew believes that we have to hire a manager at a high rate, give them benefits and all to do the work. And I'm saying, no, we don't. That we can use our own model. We can hire someone at scale. We can give them 20 hours a week. They don't have to have benefits. There are lots of ways we can do that. But there has to be someone in the development position. We don't have that. Now, why does that connect it to the IT? Because if we can save money from the IT now, we can make it more efficiently now and look at the money we're spending now and see if some of that can be siphoned off truly for a development position. That was my point. And that's why I put it together. Did I answer your question? Okay.
My friends, we're in our last, less than hour of our meeting. We got more than an hour's business, so I'm going to ask people to speed it up. Jose, you're on.
So I'm leery of spending money when we're hemorrhaging as a Pacifica's hemorrhaging, and they're taking our money to help other stations. And this, I heard Google, and Google has lots of money. And why can't Google, and why can't we just ask them to help us and donate their time and figure things out? And why can't we do that with the UCs and other ways than spending money, doing RFPs like we don't have money to be spending money. We should be looking at other ways, fundraising it. So I think this should just be put into the development talk, and we should talk about this. How do we fix our IT through donations of Silicon Valley helping us out?
Craig, and then Janet, and then Tracy.
I'm not sure. Seems like there's a balance here. We'd have to spend money to look at the operations to see how we can save money. I'm not sure how, you know, what the net result of that would be. I do agree. I think we need a longer term strategy on developing our electronic presence. One of the hazards of simply getting volunteers or simply sort of, you know, attracting people from the greater world to do this is, I know Roger, our IT consultant guy, has mentioned that our website was developed by somebody who was a whiz at Drupal, the language that the website's in, and then they disappeared. And that's a problem that you have when you simply just go out and, you know, try to grab somebody. I do think it requires a longer-term strategy and a longer-term commitment. I think this is actually something that's appropriate for our budget process. I mean, when we develop the budget for the station, that's when we look at our priorities and we say, you know, looking ahead for the next year, the next 2 years or whatever, this is where we want to allocate our resources. This is what we want to spend it on. And I think this is, I mean, I'm not talking about what to do between April and October, but I do think when our budget process rolls around, this is something that's absolutely appropriate. And I think we should make it a priority, figure out how we can allocate resources to develop our electronic presence.
My friends, I beg of you, look at the rest of the agenda. The speakers list are Janet, Carol, Tracy, Brian, and Mark.
Well, I support Joy's proposal. Two things. One, the RFP is maybe it could be, and I don't know whether it's just to get money to do this, to do the audit. It could be maybe what could be included is maybe an in-kind kind of thing, like going to Google or whoever would donate the service. That's one. The second is the website is a development application, or you know, it can be used to get donations much more than it has been. So it can pay off. And, I mean, we'll probably discuss this more next month during the development discussions, but I see the website as one of our opportunities to, a development opportunity.
Okay, the next person on the list is Carol.
Well, I lean toward us at least getting the RFP. You've got a Google person who is willing to do this and help us develop the RFP for free, and then it can be put into the discussion to see what it looks like. I'm for that.
Anybody? Tracy? Something to add?
Yeah. Agreed. I'm for what Joy's proposing. I mean, politely, I know people who work for Google and get involved in philanthropy, and they have a pile of requests from here to there. They don't respond to literally, you know, 9 out of 10. Most of this is done through relationships, not random requests. And, you know, the idea that Google will jump to the rescue here is a little unrealistic, given the volume of requests that they have. If someone's willing to help us, I think that's fantastic, and we should totally take advantage of it. In terms of sort of what we're doing overall, you know, we have scenarios where, because we can't have as much staff as we want, because we don't have the revenue to support it, we're basically outsourcing some pretty central functions, and your web presence for a media institution. Mm-hmm. Your web presence for... Mm-hmm.
Leave her alone.
I speak to many institutions, and I'm on many boards. This is not the only one. When you're talking about a web presence for a media institution, that's critical. When you're talking about your development efforts, that's also critical. When you outsource these things, you have to provide a little bit more oversight and a little bit more of a process where you assess what you're getting in return for what you're putting out, because, of course, the primary loyalty of an outsourcer or a consultant is to the business they're trying to develop, not to yours. It's different. So I think in this case, we really need to look at how the outsourcing is working, what the priorities are, and really, you know, what the best allocation is of the limited funds that we've got. I mean, at $25,000 on this website in 6 months, we're on process to spend $50,000 on the website. The creation of a new website, about $50,000-$60,000. So the question becomes, you know, how do we really want to allocate those resources? Are we doing it in the most intelligent way? And if not, what would something else look like? And it seems to me that, you know, those questions are crucial, because whenever you're in a nonprofit, you're dealing with limited resources. You can't do everything that you want. You can't just hire people at six-figure salaries to solve your problems. So you've got to be creative, and you've got to be mindful, and you've got to be conscious, and you can't just keep doing the same old things. And you can't just, you know, say part-time consultant Morning. Make everything work? Because they won't. They can't.
Okay. Brian and then Mark. Keep it short, please.
Look, let's not complicate this. The proposal is not to spend money. It's to get proposals. Once we got the proposals, we like the proposal, we got the money, we do it. We don't got the money, we ask someone if they'll chip in for it. But we're not committing to any of that now. And it doesn't matter what you feel about how things currently operate. We're just talking about exploring options. Let's not discuss it any further. We got other stuff to do. Let's just vote.
The chair notes that that's what Joy said in the first place. Mark?
Not to rain on everybody's parade, but I don't think you know what you're asking for. You're talking about developing our web presence and getting an IT audit and all this. They're not necessarily related. When you're talking about IT, you're talking about infrastructure. These are the actual computers, devices that are used. That's irrelevant to your web presence. You get two monkeys and a goat on a web server somewhere in Istanbul, and you have a web presence. It has nothing to do with the equipment you're using day to day to produce material for shows, for on-air broadcast, and to maintain the station. What needs to be done is to keep these things separated. An RFP, I'm not quite sure what you're asking for. Do you want an RFP for a web developer? Do you want an RFP for Audio Vault? Do you want an RFP for sound editing equipment? Do you want an RFP for audio storage bays, a server, a full network, wireless communications? This is a far bigger nut to crack than you're thinking of at this point. By simply saying, we want an RFP for an IT audit, that's a simple thing. Computers are only good for 5 years. Yeah, should have a 3-year rollover. That's standard industry practice for anybody. Beyond that, however, what you do with it, how much power, how much horsepower you want to put behind these computers, that's something that should be figured out. But that's separate from web development, because what you do your audio editing on has nothing to do with your web presence, has nothing to do with social media. This has to be thought out a little bit more than we need to do something, so let's do it. You need to do something, but figure out what it is you need to have done before you go do it.
Jose Luis.
So I agree with what was just said, and my concern is, sure, let's get an RFP. The person from Google comes in and will ask 20 million questions about how do you want to use this? Who are our funders? We have to turn over information, what they do with that information. Then we need some confidentiality agreements with the Google guy or whoever it might be. It's just not that simple, folks. And I wish I can agree with Brian and with Carol. It's not. And so we need to think about this, and we need to have specific. What do they want from the station in order to get this RFP out? I don't know what it is yet, and I'm very concerned giving any of our information to any corporation, especially Google.
I see other hands. I see Joy, Janet, and Tracy.
Okay, to me, and maybe I'm misunderstanding, but IT is information technology. It's not just equipment. It's hardware, software. It's technology. So communications. It's all of it.
Pardon me?
She had spoken twice
okay.
already.
Sorry. And, Joy, you're...
Joy's the maker.
Yeah, you're the maker, but go ahead. A couple people have reached their maximum. Go ahead.
So I agree with Mark. I don't know what's involved. That is why I suggested someone who is computer savvy. This is a person who's volunteered for free to help us figure out what our IT audit would look like, Mark. There's no money involved, number one. Number two, I agree with Janet. I'm not just talking about the web. I'm not just talking about the tools for putting the sound over the area. I'm talking about the amount of money we are spending to maintain our computers, to run our computers, to personnel who are doing the websites, how much it costs to keep that website going, what it's going to take to revamp our website. All of those things, if the Google person has the savvy and the skill he says he does, he, of course, would survey us to see what we want. He would see what we have and see what we need to do, whatever it is we want. Now, the RFP would hold in it a request for proposal is we would ask organizations who do this work to help us do A, B, C, D, and E. It's the Google guy, and he's not doing it on behalf of Google. Let me straighten that out, too. He's laid off from Google. And he has time on his hands. He's doing another project on his own. And he offered to give us advice on how to create an RFP to figure out what we have and what we need. And I'm sorry if I didn't make that clear before.
I have a question to the group. Would our problem be solved if I, as chair, would our problem be solved if I, as chair, ask Joy and Andrew, and your associate expert to consult before our next meeting and come up with a specific recommendation for the board to consider?
Sir, I'm ready for that.
Andrew has indicated he's so willing. Let's go in that direction.
If I add a caveat.
Please. You have every right to.
If we can put discussion in the development part right after announcements next month, then I'd be willing to do that. All right.
Thank you. Carol has asked for the floor. We're trying to do surgery on the agenda. Give me a chance.
I want to move to change the agenda. I want to move up new business A. I think that because we're in a situation where we don't know what's happening with our general manager and we don't have a program director, I would like to have us consider before we adjourn this important item.
And let me, for the information of the board, indicate that item number C under 13 is something that was proposed by Andrea, who is not here, and I was going to recommend that we wait until she's present for that discussion. So,
which one, A, B, or C?
C.
Okay.
And what about B?
I am sorry.
I would say that B in old business and B in new business are actually things that are on the same sort of subject and belong together. And one of them's is B in new business. So I would like to move up A in new business.
Okay, I'm just trying. The way, if we pass this, essentially with the dropping of, until next meeting, of equity and inclusion of committees of inclusion, it's the chair's understanding that the impact of this motion is our next item would be under new business A, and then we would move to B and under old business and B under new business, which are really two sides of the same coin. So is there a debate? The motion is to move immediately to the question about program director recruitment, and my understanding is the impact would be then we then would go to
B&B.
Okay? Tracy.
Is there a second?
There is a second. Thank you.
It's fine, but as a point of order, once you approve an agenda to change it, it does take a two-thirds vote. I'm not sure you're going to have a problem with that, but okay. Just for the record.
Thank you. That's helpful.
And then the other note that I wanted to make is I don't know if this is the case, but it was mentioned that when we got to this item, that search committees might be discussed for more than simply the program director position, and if that's the case, the interim or former interim general manager should not be present for that conversation. That is basic personnel protocol. If you're talking about a potential candidate for the position, you don't go forming the search committee with the person present in the room. So
okay,
you wouldn't
let's
need
take
to
up one
deal
at
with
a
that
time if you,
if
don't
you put
mind.
That on the floor. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Number one, I expect a two-thirds vote. We'll ask for it. Number two, I think you're going to respond to.
Yeah, the appointing of the search committee will take place subsequent to the motion, which I will, which is my motion, and which I'm going to tell you how I wanted to amend it. So So,
okay.
So
right now.
So let's vote to change the agenda.
All those in favor of taking up immediately the question of that is listed under new business A, please signify by raising your right hand. A count is being made. Keep your hands up. Please put your hands up and hold them up because we need a two-thirds.
So 13 yes.
All those opposed? I see one. Abstentions? I see four abstentions.
That's two-thirds.
It's okay. We have amended the agenda. The floor is now open for discussion on program director recruitment, and I understand there is some language in front of us, and I may even be able to find it.
Okay. I'm gonna propose that this be changed to resolution on personnel committee. So change the title. All I propose to do is add the general manager to the language that's here. So it would be general manager and program director. It gets a little, the second whereas gets a little complicated because it's the, I'll just read it. Where it is the responsibility of the Pacifica executive director to select a GM and the KPFA GM to select a program director from a list put forward by the LSB. So you get that? I'm covering both things in the one. Okay. And so we have to add general manager to the first one, and in the first, therefore, it will say draft of position descriptions for KPFA general manager and KPFA program director, and further resolved, you have to add an S to descriptions, and in the final resolve, you have to add in the third line an S to positions of KPFA of GM and program director at KPFA, and in the last line you have to add Pacifica ED and the KPFA GM. So the intent of my resolution is that that here today we would select a 5-person committee. Can be done by volunteers if we have competing volunteers by STV votes. You know. What?
Single transferable vote.
Well, anyway, that's my intention. I sent this out to people a long time ago, so I'm hoping that that we do this today. We set up a 5-person committee whose responsibility will be to do these things and get moving on this. I had originally introduced the resolution simply on the program director, but with the sort of changing situation at KPFA, I think it's appropriate to add the GM and move on it. So I hope I have a second, and I hope you all will vote for it.
Is there a second? I hear a second. Margie, do you want to address it?
What?
Motivate it?
Here's my motivation. We got to do this.
Okay.
Yes, point of information regarding the program.
Please give it the mic. Tracy, I see your hand.
Regarding the program director selection process, I'm just checking. Does the GM actually have to select from the list put forward by the LSP, or the GM can say, I don't like this list and give me another one?
Bylaws say shall select. Okay. But say that about the GM too.
Tracy, you went to the floor?
Yeah, I thought in the point of order that I just mentioned, I pointed out that I said something about, you know, the protocol of setting up hiring committees in the presence of potential candidates. And Margie, I thought you said we're not going to select the committee today. So,
No, there are two questions. Margie, please.
If we get to that point, we'll ask Andrew to leave the room.
It's not a hiring committee. Please.
Okay. You can't really do that. So you probably would need to move into closed session. I mean, that's
my understanding.
How you do these things. You can't have a candidate present when you're compiling a selection committee. I mean, that's just not right.
The chair's understanding, it is merely the question of setting up a nominating committee to draft position descriptions.
No, correct me, please.
To do the whole shooting match.
Mr. Chair. Hold on a second. Margie first, and then Brian.
It is a committee to see this process through from position description to making recommendations.
Okay, then I misunderstood. Okay. Brian, do you want to speak to?
Yes. I served 6 years on this board before my present term. We set up 3 separate hiring committees. In that time, we always did it in public session. On many of those meetings, we were on a public web stream. We always did it under the understanding that they were open hires, meaning any member of the board or audience is a potential job applicant, and it's presumptuous to assume that our current interim general manager is even interested in the permanent job, more than any of us are. It's absolutely absurd.
Okay. Let's vote on my motion.
Yes.
Okay. A motion has been made, and it is before us, and it is properly seconded. I am going to call for the aye votes by raising of hands. Please, all those in favor of Margie's motion, raise your hand. All those who are opposed, please raise your hand.
Zero.
All those who are abstaining, please raise your hand.
Seven. Oops. 11 yes, 0 no, 7 abstentions.
The motion has carried. We now have the responsibility of, if I'm following correctly, Margie, of choosing the committee?
So my suggestion is we start off asking for volunteers. If we have more than 5 volunteers, then we select who the members of the committee will be by a vote.
Okay. Thank you. All those who would like to volunteer for the committee, please signify by raising a hand. The secretary will record it. Starting at this group. Margie? Whoops. Oh, it's going on the board. Okay, I'll name them. Margie, Donald, Brian, Sharam, and I'm screwing up your name again. I'm sorry, Janet, Ramses. I hope I got it right this time. Tracy, Lewis, Barbara, Carol, Have I missed anybody?
Yeah.
Okay. You're Ramses. Tracy, did you have your hand up? Excuse me, Tracy.
Yes, I had my hand.
Thank you for the answer.
You're welcome.
Did Janet have your? Did you have your?
She did.
Janet.
Did you? Janet. Lewis. Barbara. Carol. Did we miss anybody? Okay, please read the names from the board.
Margie, Donald, Ryan, Sharon, Ramses, Lewis, Barbara, Carol, Tracy, Janet.
Is there anyone who wanted his or her name to be included not on that list? Okay, there are more than five. Okay.
Yeah, the vote should be now.
Withdrawal by Lewis. We have nine.
Okay. We need some ballots.
Can I make a suggestion here?
Please, Tracy, a suggestion.
A hand count for five seats, nine candidates is actually pretty tricky from a proportional representation point of view.
Who said a hand count?
Hold on a second. It's a hand count if you don't have a machine with Choice Plus Pro, which you don't have. It's got some fairly complicated fractional breakdowns, and you really should have some folks here who are not on the board that have proportional representation counting experience, a complex election.
Do you have a suggestion of procedure?
I think you need to invite, well, there's two possibilities. Let me just throw them out. The first possibility is you can invite someone at the next board meeting to conduct this election. There are several people you can ask, Dave Kadlicek, blah, 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 blah. The second suggestion is you can do, I mean, the PNB does this, there's an email protocol. There's an email protocol for preparing email ballots, sending them into the national office and having them counted there. And you could get that done in the course of the next week.
Great.
If you wanted to.
No, this is absurd. This is really absurd. The procedure is spelled out in detail in the bylaws, and I'm happy to provide that. We've done hand count of recent elections. Virginia and I and other people have sat in on those hand counts. I mean, give us a break.
It's actually pretty complicated, Craig. Get it wrong.
Let me just say that any voting procedure that requires a computer to figure it out is seriously deficient. We can do this with our own human brains.
People actually screw it up a lot.
Okay, my friends, I am reluctant in light of all the recent developments to put this off and off and off. Please, can we have a procedure where we make a decision today? And if it's against the rules, impeach me. Please impeach me. Ballots are being prepared. May I have everybody's attention, please? May I have everybody on the board's attention, please?
Yes, sir.
We are just past the official adjournment time. The count can continue, and we can get the report. But some people are committed to leave. Janet, you wanted to add something?
Yeah.
Please go ahead. Huh? Well, I'm on the right on the threshold of calling adjournment because of the clock, but I don't want to do it if somebody wants to talk.
Yeah, I have a request, just like with the LSB elections and the ranked, you know, the different rounds and the results of that, which is done by computer, I guess, but that we have something like that for this. Okay. All right. So, you know, to be sent to us.
Okay. The vote has been made. We will work on an arrangement to get the information to this board by email. But unless there is something to stop me, I am about ready to say the.
I just want to take a vote that says that we're going to agree that this vote is legal, even though we're adjourning before the count is final.
It is my position as chair that once I see hands. Tracy, Craig, Tracy.
To modify that a bit, because I don't think you can agree in advance that something is legal, but if the chair and the secretary will take responsibility for getting these ballots to an individual with a Choice Plus Pro program and put them through and issue a report and send it out on email, then that's fine. I don't think anyone will have a concern. It's pretty clear who won, but we do need to make sure that things are counted correctly.
Let me make this announcement as chair. The balloting that took place is official. Those ballots will be given to the treasurer and sealed. The secretary, and they will be sealed, and then they'll be processed appropriately. But that particular balloting is our official balloting for this committee.
I
Margie.
Okay, so I want to make an announcement. We never got to the PNB report, and I just want to say that many things happened. You can read the minutes as they appear on the KPFTX website. I'll even send an explanation of how you do that because it's not easy. Okay, but at our last meeting, one of the things that happened was that we agree. There's a revision of the Pacifica personnel handbook that's under consideration. We agreed that it would be forwarded to GMs and to staff at local stations to review. I think it's perfectly appropriate for LSB members to review it. I will make sure that you all get copies of that so you can look at it. It's long, let me tell you. It's two documents. One's 20 pages, one's 30. There's some stuff that's the same in the two. But it really is important that people read it because we really need to know what people think about it and also what you find unintelligible in it so we can fix it so that everybody is able to understand what the personnel policies are.
Craig, I saw your hand first, but I'm going to recognize Ramsey because he has to leave.
Sure, thank you. So I do have to leave. I really wish that the vote had just been next month, you know, and given people plenty of time to participate. That didn't happen. The vote happened. But I'm concerned about the confusion on the count. Therefore, if that becomes questioned at any point, I just want to suggest that when you seal the ballots, you have people signed, you know, wherever you seal it, you know, in case we have to ever look back at them, we're all in agreement that we can open them at a later time if it's questioned. But I'm okay with, you know, the process as it's going right now. But I do have to get going, and, you know, thanks, everybody. I'll see you next
Thank
month.
Thank you very much. Craig.
Thank you for your time. Well, I was just going to say that I will transcribe the ballots and send those transcriptions around to everybody on the board so you can run your own checks. And and we'll come up with the vote. Okay?
Thank you.
Craig, is a possibility, when will you be able to transcribe them? Can we seal the actual ballots? I understand. When will you be finished with your process?
If you have access to a scanner, it's not a bad idea to scan.
I don't want to scan you because I don't want people's handwriting to be
identified. Look, folks. Give me the courtesy of letting Craig answer my question.
So is the question whether I would be doing this myself or there would be...
No, what I would like to do is be available to be of assistance in terms of the time that I'm here. And
I'll do it when I get home.
Okay. I'm here through at least through Monday. So, but I think what I would like now, if you don't mind, seal those in an envelope, and if you and Virginia would sign them, then I'll work with you on breaking the seal and doing the count. And Mark, you had a question. Oh, give it to Craig.
With no authority, I declare this meeting adjourned.
People are walking out. Meeting is adjourned.